The Dan and Maz Show.
Let's get ready to catch up, all thanks to Prezi Digital Gift Cards. Now, Prezi lets you buy gift cards from major retailers. You can send them instantly or send them whenever you choose. Just buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au and you could win a $250 gift card. LTPM 1601177.
My fellow Australians, it's time for the first meal of the day. And it's a day that starts with S, which means it must be time for your serving of weekend breakfast. So crank your volume up. To a respectable listening level.
It is still quite early.
It's time for Dan and Maz Weekend. Hooray!
Everything lights up. Makes you want to shout. Talk about happiness. That's what we are talking about.
Good morning, legends. It's Dan and Maz Weekend. Hello.
Hello, Maz.
How are you, mate?
Good. Our producer, Trav, just sent me a pub quiz on Facebook, so I just did that during the news.
That's what you were doing. Warm-up. Yep. I've never seen you concentrate so intently. I was like, what is going on there?
19 out of 25. I didn't do too well because it was British angled. It was more British than Australian.
It was pub trivia.
Yeah.
Like about British pubs.
No, no. Yeah. I know a lot about pubs. Yeah, my dad runs a bar, so I know all about it. It runs in the blood. Pubs do, not alcohol. Well, it is Saturday morning. So.
Hey guys, we've got a special guest coming into the studio before 8 o'clock this morning. He's a very good friend of the Dan and Maz Show. In particular, would like to hear from our junior listeners this morning. So if you're a parent and the kids aren't quite awake yet, get them up in about 20 minutes' time.
Especially if they want to tune in. If they know what they want for Christmas and maybe they want to be able to communicate it to the North Pole somehow.
Yep, that's happening just after 7:30 this morning. But as always, for a Saturday morning, we'll kick the show off with Confused. So if you want to play, 131060 is the number. We need a Confusinator and we'll do it next.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Time for Confused. We've got Michelle playing this morning. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Maz.
How are you, babe?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you going?
Yeah, really good. So, Confused, it's our confusing news-based game show.
I'm here too, Michelle.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah, geez, what am I, a jar of jam? Come on.
Sorry. Jar of jam?
I don't know.
What?
Tastiest jar of jam ever.
Thank you. I'm a sweet treat.
Michelle, do you know how Confused works?
Sure do.
Okay. Well, we should probably say, Maz. Right?
Let's just clarify,
just
in case.
Listening, understand how it goes. I've got two news stories in front of me. One of them is a real story and one of them isn't. And you have to sniff out the fake one, Michelle.
Okie dokie.
All right. Good luck.
Okay, story number one. In India this week, a new...
Fake! No, I'm joking. Go.
Maz, please. It's a little too early for that. In India this week, a new species of bird has been discovered, and in a move that will please Potterheads around the world, it has been named after a character from Harry Potter. The tiny bird...
Oh, Draco.
Maz, please. Sorry. We've done this segment every day this year. Why are you being a little turd now?
No, it's really run its course, hasn't it?
It has. The tiny bird has been given the scientific name... Iriovixia dumbledori, because its bright red plumage is similar to that of the pet phoenix of the benevolent wizard Albus Dumbledore, the headmaster in the Harry Potter series. On Twitter, J.K. Rowling responded saying, "I'm truly honoured. Congratulations on discovering another hashtag fantastic beast." Plugging her movie there.
Okay.
Credit. Or is it story number two? Story number two. Howdy, partner. In Texas, the most exciting party in town is for an ape. May, the pregnant orangutan who resides in the Cameron Park Zoo in Waco, Texas, is pregnant with her hubby KJ. And the zoo is throwing her a baby shower and they've put together a gift registry at Target, or Target, including music from Simon and Garfunkel and Dolly Parton, DVDs of The Princess Bride and Casper. Oddly, Dunstan checks in is not featured, man. And Britney Spears' fantasy fragrance.
Yeah.
Ooh. The zoo has received a huge outpouring of response from across the country, and they're getting multiple packages delivered from Target daily, including 17 on Wednesday alone. Huh. This is May's second baby shower after another one in 2014.
Michelle, oh my goodness, I have no idea. So one of those stories is untrue. Which one is the untrue story?
I think the first one is untrue and the second one is real.
Well done, Michelle, you brainy box.
Oh my God.
But they did discover a new animal in India and name it after Harry Potter. However, it's a spider shaped like the sorting hat and they've called it Eriovixia Gryffindori.
Oh, wow.
So it is. That's true.
It's sort of true.
Sort of true.
I thought the second story was fake just because you said DVDs on the guest on the list. I'm like, no one gets DVDs.
Surely
just get Netflix and chill.
Sign the monkey up to Netflix.
Michelle, congratulations.
Thank you.
You don't win anything, but good on you.
Monkey's having a better week than you.
That's all right. Have a lovely day, babe.
You too. Bye.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
They near disaster in the Compton household this week.
You good? You good, Mazzy?
Yeah,
you
always
seem
awesome.
This morning. You don't look like you've been through the wars.
Well, it's not a shocker.
Oh, hang on.
But it's...
Were you doing that little radio thing where you say that the worst thing ever has happened? And
I didn't
it'll
say
be
that.
Up after this song. This is Naked Sexual. Oh, it was so bad. You're going to want to stick around for this. And then we come back and you're like, oh, I dropped a toffee apple. It's like, great. Thank
it's
you
a
so
bit
much.
Worse than dropping a toffee apple. Let me explain. So this week, my fiancé and I, we had to put together some flat
pack. Oh,
yeah, we
get it. You're getting
married. Yeah, I'm getting married.
All right.
Well, what am I supposed to call him? He's my fiancé.
Yeah,
what am I supposed to
do you
say?
You smooch him?
Yes, of course I do.
I'm getting you back for how you interrupted my news stories in the last segment.
You really didn't like that.
I'm being the
obnoxious
one
funny.
Now.
It was funny when I said Draco, though. Come on.
Yeah, all right.
We're putting together some flat pack furniture. It's actually a bunk bed for the spare room.
Mm.
So this is all, it's also sort of to do with our ploy to get on the block in 2017.
Yeah.
So we just keep doing like renovating gyms, putting together flat pack furniture and filming everything to put
honest,
in a time lapse video so that we can put together a video audition.
You're absolutely going to get on it because they'd be fools.
Fingers
not to.
Crossed. Well,
you're
we
both,
are going to apply.
You're both stunningly good looking.
Thanks.
He's got renovation experience. You've
got
lots of social media followers. They'd be fools not to, honestly.
Well, we were putting together this single bunk bed. So single, you know what I mean? Two beds on top of each other, that vibe.
All bunk beds are double bunk beds.
I know, but I thought, some of them are double on the bottom and single on the top. And I only know this because I've done so much flipping research about bunk beds.
So mum and dad can sleep on the bottom and
probably not mum and dad. No, you probably would have like a buddy sleepover.
I would be furious if...
Top and towel with a buddy in the bottom, other mate up top.
That would be so weird. Hey, come over for a sleepover. My little brother's going to be sleeping a metre above us. Creepy. And we're going to sleep in the same bed, like cuddling. Oh,
you don't have to cuddle. When you're that young, you're top and tail.
No, you don't.
Don't you?
No.
Okay.
You just like put an air mattress on the floor. Don't look at me. Don't look at me either. Oh. Anyway.
Shut up, Tom. Sorry, that was from your past.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're putting together this bunk bed, flat pack furniture scenario. You know the deal. Sometimes it can cause arguments because the instructions don't have words on them. They just have pictures.
You've just got that anthropomorphic human, that sort of, that stick figure man, like puzzled, looking at things, telling you not to hold them upside down. Yeah.
You're basically guessing 90% of the time. But we did a really good job. And this is mainly because my fiance is a builder and he actually knows what he's doing. And I sort of just helped. He would just give me a job to do and then I do it. And then
you're doing great, honey.
And now what do I do? And he'd be like, cup of tea would be great. I'm like, awesome, I can organise that. That's easy. So we put together this bunk bed. We're really proud of ourselves. We didn't have one argument.
Yeah, good on you.
And then 2 days later, we were downstairs cleaning out the garage and we found a part of the bunk bed that we haven't used. Now, it's a rather large part of the bed and I...
And you've got no idea where it factors in?
Do not know where it goes. We were cleaning out the garage and he brings over this box and he's like, what's this? I'm like, no idea what that is.
Mm.
And we open it and it's like part of the bunk bed with its own little set of nuts and bolts and screws and stuff. And I'm like, well, that looks like it should be important and that it should be in the bed or on the bed or on the side of the bed, but I don't know where to put it. So it's, I mean.
You can't in good conscience let someone sleep on that bed now because it could fall apart. It's we'll a death trap now. Just whoever's on the bottom will get crushed.
No, nah, we're just getting to sign a waiver before they sleep over. Fine. But I would like to know on 13 1060, have you had a
flat pack, baby, flat pack
disaster?
Flat pack disaster.
Flat pack disasters. I mean, this is a potential disaster. Mm. At the moment, it's fine. There's just a spare bit of timber and some metal sitting in our spare room.
Okay.
But if that bed collapses in the middle of the night, that's a disaster.
What about this one, Maz? I assembled for my bedroom a mandal from IKEA. A mandal.
A mandal sounds like your German boyfriend.
My mandal. No, it's a bed with drawers underneath. I think anyone who doesn't get a bed with drawers underneath is an idiot. You're wasting the storage possibility there.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
I assembled it myself. It took 2 days to make.
Oh,
it was very difficult.
Wow.
Well, you're essentially assembling a bed and a chest of drawers at the same time.
Yes.
And I'm proud to say that one of the drawers works perfectly.
And what about the other two?
There are 4 drawers.
4.
One works perfectly. One opens halfway, so I can kind of slide things in. The other doesn't open at all. And the fourth one opens all the way, but then you can't close it. You have to just keep jiggling it until it closes.
Yeah, that's a disaster.
So it's almost functional.
It's defeated the purpose of having storage under the bed because you cannot get everything that you need in there.
All right, 13 1060, flat pack disasters.
Flat pack, baby, flat pack.
Anything that's gone wrong when you're putting together flat pack furniture. And thanks to everyone on our Facebook who is telling people to tag their husband or boyfriends.
Yeah, Katie has literally gone, Jennifer, tag your husband.
I like Sarah who said, yeah, my bed is propped up on bricks because I had 12 screws left over.
Wow.
I'd like to think it's like you, Maz. Like she put the bed together and then saw all the screws and went, well, that can't be good. We're putting this on bricks.
It's not a good sign. Okay, 13 1060, flat pack disasters. We'll take your calls next.
Flat pack, baby, flat pack.
Dan and Maz weekends.
If you want your Christmas gift to be a massive hit this year, give a Prezi digital gift card. So Prezi lets you buy e-gift cards from major retailers sent instantly or scheduled to send later, like on Christmas Day. Better yet, when you buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au, you could win one of 10 $250 gift cards. That's like an awesome early Christmas gift. LTPM 160-1177. 13 1060, what's your
flat pack, baby, flat pack
disaster?
Have you assembled a flat pack furniture and it's gone horribly wrong? Did it tear your relationship apart? Did you hurt yourself? Just, I don't know, have a bit of a whinge about it. Get it off your chest. If it is on your chest right now, probably call for help.
Yeah, don't call us.
Maybe someone trapped underneath a sideboard right now.
We've got Andrew on 13 1060. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Really good, mate.
Flat
pack disasters. What happened?
So I got a barbecue from Bunnings with some of my mates.
Name and shame.
Andrew, I'm feeling you. I got a barbecue as well. Not from Bunnings, but I got a barbecue and it's not good. Yep, you go first. Your turn first. Yeah, your guess.
So, you know, in the flat pack, being a bunch of guys, you just rip it open, put out all the parts and go straight to the page that has, like, you don't check anything.
Mm.
And so we start trying to put it together.
The finished product page on the instruction manual and then
pretty
reverse
much.
Like, engineer it.
That's what guys do. Most of us anyways. And we're trying to find all these bits and pieces and it turns out they gave us the wrong instruction booklet. It was for a different model of the barbecue.
So then
we had to run all the way back down to Bunnings, and it took a while to get the actual proper instruction booklet. Mm. Went all the way back home, started putting it together, and I think it's called the regulator hose that connects to the gas bottle.
Okay. Sure.
It didn't have that, so we had to go
regulate.
Yeah, so we had to go all the way back to Bunnings to go get the regulator hose.
Number two for the regulator.
2 trips back to Bunnings.
Yeah.
Did you run there the second time, or did you drive?
It's about like a 10-minute drive, so probably better off driving.
Yep. Well, you're always better off driving. It's always faster than walking, unless you're like
Andrew,
going to your kitchen. Yeah.
Did you get the barbecue together in the end with the hosts?
Yeah, yeah, it's all together. Roasted some snags and some, what do they call them in Australia? Rissoles.
Oh,
that's
rissoles.
What it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
You're in Australia.
Yeah. No, I'm from California, but I live in Australia now.
Okay, gotcha. All right. What do you California call them in California?
Dreaming. What's that?
What do you call them in California?
Sloppy Joes.
Yeah, hot dogs.
Hot dogs?
No. Hot dogs and then hamburgers.
Yeah, right. Hamburgers.
We talked for hours, Andrew, but we got more callers coming through.
That was a good story. It was a disaster.
It was a disaster. The story was, it was a disaster.
How are you going to regulate without a regulator hose?
Regulators.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, hey, guys. Good morning.
Yeah, g'day, Steve.
Morning, mate.
Hit us with your flat pack disaster.
Flat pack, baby, flat pack. Mate. What it is that I deliver flat packs for a company. I won't say
who. Oh, do
yeah,
you?
And, no.
Is it IKEA?
And,
no, he can't say Maz.
Anyway, we have a whole lot of different customers that we deliver for flat packs.
Okay.
And what happens sometimes is that all the flat packs, they all get stacked up into a Penrith run or a Blacktown run or
Australia
run.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes these cars get on top of each other and they rip open. And sometimes things fall out.
Oh, this is why you aren't naming the company, because you're not very good at your job, Steve.
And so,
Steve, you're responsible for so many marriages breaking down.
Sometimes a little bag of bolts, they fall out, or there's a little slit, a piece of wood. Sometimes that falls out and breaks and snaps.
Steve, you monster.
Stop it. I am not the monster.
You are.
Hang on. Do you attempt to put the little bag of screws back into the box?
By the time the bag's already ripped open and there's bolts and screws and stuff all over the ground.
So people are getting their flat. You, the end of the day, you basically just go around the floor of the truck just going, oh, here's a couple that's broken up because of this screw.
Oh, you.
Mate, we've already
evil.
Delivered it and gone by the time they get there and say, oh,
yeah, all care, no responsibility. That's the way.
Devil.
Put the flat pack together. Let's go. The guy bought it today.
Don't shoot the
messenger. Oh, the bag's ripped open. Well, I hope all the nuts and bolts are in there.
You just laugh at these poor people.
Oh, yes. It's quite amusing. And when you pass the delivery, you have a smile on your face saying, have a great day. You know they're not.
Do you know what? Steve, I actually understand because dealing with somebody, if you had to ring somebody and go, hey, sorry, we've got to take your flat pack furniture back to the warehouse because the thing's ripped open and the thing's fallen out, you're going to cop it. You're going to get abused. So you may as well just deliver the goods and then leave
the
scene.
Get the hell out of there, yeah.
Then they have to call the customer service people and blow them up. So I actually understand why you're doing it. I do the same.
Yes.
Drop and run.
Just deliver it. Once it's delivered, it's done. That's my job done.
Yeah. You won't get a job with Santa Claus anytime soon, I don't think so, but you're fine. That's some intel right there, isn't it?
That drives me insane. Oh.
Does it drive you insane?
Just to know that he'll be dropping it off and he'll look in the eye and go, have a great
day.
And off he goes. And he knows. Oh, but I'd do the same if I was Steve.
I would too. Samantha, hello.
Hello, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're really good, babe. Flat pack disasters.
Okay, so last year I was moving in with my then boyfriend at the time, and it was our first time moving out of home, so we had to buy all new furniture because we had nothing.
Well, that's fun.
We spent 2 weeks without any furniture. So when we finally received our first piece of furniture, which was our TV unit, and I had to go to work. I asked him to make a start on it, and then I would finish it off when I got home.
Yeah, you're
which
probably
wasn't
like,
going to be until that.
Life together is going to be so much better now that we have.
Yeah,
oh.
I can finally put my TV on something and stop looking down on it from the couch.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to get home till 10 o'clock at night, so I got home, and he basically put it all together. I just had to do the drawers, so I started putting the drawers together, and then I realized that one of the screws for the drawers was too long. So I've sifted through all my stuff and I was like, nope, there's definitely not a smaller one. And then I realised that he'd actually put a screw that was too small somewhere in the middle of the
somewhere
whole
else.
Thing. So I spent then 2 hours taking it all apart and put it back together the next day with the right parts.
Flat, flat, baby, flat, flat.
Did you tell him that you did this?
I did, and his brother was actually staying over at the time, and he watched me do the entire thing.
Samantha,
he didn't offer to help me either.
Did you tell your boyfriend? Did you tell him in a calm manner?
What you absolutely had not. It was 10 o'clock at night. I'd been at work all day. I'd had a terrible day and I wanted to just get home and watch TV. And I couldn't do that.
Because once you start, you can't stop. You're like, I'm going to disassemble this whole goddamn thing.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, he was never allowed to touch a flat pack again. It was all me that had to do it.
Well done.
That's probably his plan.
So good.
Meanwhile, Steve's in the back of the truck holding your screw going, ha ha.
Just the one. He just held on to the one. Yeah. It's Dan and Maz. Up next, we have a very special guest. It's coming here all the way from the North Pole.
So if you've got a little child around the house, a little young one who maybe has something on their Christmas list, maybe we can get a message to the North Pole next.
Yes, we'll do it next.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Now we do have a special guest coming into the studio. He's back by popular demand.
He was here last week. He comes from the North Pole, Maz.
Yeah, he is really good friends with Santa Claus.
Well, he works for Santa Claus.
Yeah, and so he pops into the Dan and Maz show all the way from the North Pole to talk to all the little boys and girls that listen to our show, and then he can report back to Santa and let Santa know what you all want for Christmas.
Shall I bring him in and just lift him up onto this chair here?
He is a tiny, tiny guy, but he's got a very, very big heart. His name is Sprinkles. Here you go. Pop up there, mate.
Hello. Hello, Maz.
Hi, Sprinkles.
Hello, Dan.
How are you, Sprinkles?
Oh, it's very good to be here again. Thank you for inviting Sprinkles back onto the show.
That's okay. I can imagine that it's quite busy at the North Pole a week before Christmas.
It is flat strap at the North Pole. Everyone is working very hard, all us elves. We have our hammer and we are knocking together all the toys for all the good boys and girls. And I know that only nice boys and girls, none of the naughty ones, only the nice ones listen to the Dan and Maz show.
Sprinkles. Can I ask what's one of the most popular items that children are requesting from Santa this Christmas?
Yes. It's a tough question for little Sprinkles.
There's so many toys.
I would have to say a Rubik's Cube.
That's so old school.
Yep.
You put
little Sprinkles on the spot there, Maz.
Sorry, Maz.
Little Sprinkles wasn't expecting that question. If he'd known, he would have done a little bit of research during the song and had an answer. But because you didn't tell Sprinkles early enough, he didn't have an answer ready for that one.
It's okay, I believe. Rubik's Cubes have always been very popular since the 80s.
He just maybe a playing station. A PlayStation. Yes. Anyway.
Sprinkles.
Sprinkles is a Christmas elf, and he comes here to the Dan and Maz show. Yes, I do. All the way from the North Pole, boys and girls. I'm friends with Santa. I work for him in his workshop building toys. And I'll tell you what, if you call up right now on 13 10 60, ask Mummy and Daddy first.
That's a really good idea. Yes. Definitely ask Mum and Dad first.
Yes. If you call up now on 13 10 60, Sprinkles will listen to what you want for Christmas, and then I'll go back to the North Pole, and then I'll meet with Santa, and I'll whisper into Santa's ear what you want, and then
Fingers crossed.
Yes. We're getting lots of calls from boys and girls.
We are. This is fantastic. Okay.
Maz!
Maz! Sprinkles.
What do you want for Christmas?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
I can whisper in Santa's ear. That's all good because you've been naughty. You've been naughty. So
that's
you don't
not
get,
true.
You're always interrupting Dan when he's telling his funny jokes.
Okay, 13, 10, 60. Ooh. If there's a junior listener to the Dan and Maz show, okay, you want to talk to Sprinkles, the Christmas elf. He is here from the North Pole.
Ask Mummy and Daddy first.
We'll get you on the air with Sprinkles next. It's Dan and Maz weekend. Sprinkles, don't go anywhere because you've got to talk to the little boys and girls next.
Sorry, I was distracted by all the flashing lights here in the studio. It's like a Christmas tree.
It really is. Okay, we'll take your calls next. Don't touch that.
Dan and Maz weekends.
We do have a very special guest in the studio with us this morning. He is all the way from the North Pole. It's Sprinkles, the Christmas elf. Hi, Sprinkles.
Merry Christmas, boys and girls. It's me, Sprinkles, the lovable Christmas elf. And if you call us up on 13, 10, 60. Oh, 60. Can you count all the way to 60? Oh, if you call us up and tell Sprinkles what you want for Christmas, I'll go back to the North Pole and whisper in Santa's ear what you want. And fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Well, that's what we say, isn't it?
It is, Maz.
Okay, let's go to our first caller. Mm. I'm unsure how to pronounce his name.
It would be Atreyu.
Atreyu?
Like in the Neverending Story or like the heavy metal band.
Is it Atreyu there? Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Atreyu. Good morning.
Good morning, Maz and Sprinkles.
Oh, Atreyu, you sound very grown up. How old are you?
Seven.
Seven? That's a big age, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh. Now, I am Sprinkles, the Christmas elf. I've come here from the North Pole. And what I want to know, Atreyu, is what you want Santa to bring you for Christmas?
Lego and Nerf guns.
Lego and Nerf guns? Ooh! That sounds like what Dan wants for Christmas.
They're cool presents.
Very cool, Atreyu. Maz, you seem like you're getting a little bit emotional listening to Atreyu this morning.
Yeah, my ovaries are about to explode.
Atreyu?
Yeah?
I'm going to go back to the North Pole once we're done here, and I'll go and talk to Santa, and I'll whisper it in his ear, okay?
Thank you, Sprinkles.
You're welcome, Atreyu.
See you, mate.
I can't
Merry
promise.
Christmas.
I can't promise, but fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Thanks, Atreyu. Merry Christmas. We've got Alyssa up next. Good morning, Alyssa.
Hi.
Oh, hello, hi. Alyssa. Good morning. It's Sprinkles, the Christmas elf. How old are you?
I'm nine.
Nine? That's a very big age. You're growing up very quickly. Well, at the rate of 1 year every year, like everybody else. But anyway.
Don't overthink it, Sprinkles.
Alyssa?
Yeah?
What would you like Santa to bring you for Christmas?
I would like a pink Furby Kinect.
A what?
A pink Furby Kinect.
A pink Furby Kinect.
That's a great present.
Ooh, why pink? It's the best color.
I don't know.
Okay, you just want it.
Is pink your favourite colour, Alyssa?
Sort of.
Well, Alyssa, I'll go back to the North Pole and I'll whisper in Santa's ear.
Thank you.
Say thank you. Okay, yes. Fingers crossed.
Bit of direction from Mum there.
Nice. Sprinkles. Nice to know Mum is listening as well.
What's your favourite colour?
My favourite colour would be Christmas colour. Red and green and gold and white Christmas colour.
Tristan, hello.
Hello, Tristan. Oh, hello.
Hi, Tristan. Hello.
How old are you, Tristan?
Seven.
Seven. Oh, that's a big age. Tristan sounds a bit like Christmas, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yes.
Sort of.
Tristan, Christmas. Tristan, we have to talk very quickly because it's almost time to broadcast the news. I'm getting the wrap up from Maz. Okay. So, Tristan, what would you like for Christmas?
All of the bad guys from Ninja Turtles.
All of the bad guys.
The bad guys?
Bebop and Rocksteady and Shredder and Krang and a foot soldier. Yes?
Yep.
Yes.
sprinkles.
Sprinkles knows this very well. Tristan, I'm running out of time. My magic is about to disappear. So I will go back to Santa. I'll whisper it in his ear and fingers crossed.
Okay.
Thanks, Tristan. Merry Christmas.
Right. I have to get
Merry Christmas.
Okay, I have to get back on my magical candy cane and journey over the gingerbread rainbow back to the North Pole.
Have a safe trip back to the North Pole, Sprinkles, and Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas to all the boys and girls. It's me, Sprinkles, the magical Christmas elf, saying goodbye.
You're waking up with Dan and Maz Weekends.
Everything lights up, makes you want to shout. Talk about happiness, that's what we're talking about.
Morning Legends, Dan and Maz Weekends, you got us for another hour.
Yeah, and up next, it's our favourite bloody segment.
You're unbelievable.
It sure is. If you've got a tale from your life, and when you tell people, they go, nah, do not believe.
Oh, yeah, pull the other one, Jerome.
Who's Jerome?
I don't know. If you got a mate called Jerome, you'd say that to him, wouldn't you?
Very odd name. Usually you say Gary.
I do lean on Gary a bit. I thought I'd mix it up.
Which is hilarious because it's my brother's name.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're doing your unbelievable. If you've got an unbelievable story, hang on to it.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Bailey Dawson.
Who?
Bailey Dawson.
Oh.
He was bitten several times by a goanna, which chased him down and then latched onto his arm in Rutherglen near New South Wales, near the border of.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He is a farmer, and here is his own account of the terrifying tale.
I started walking a bit faster towards the car, and as I look back, he's running. So I started running, and he caught up to me straight away. When it had hold of my arm, like got down on top of it sort of thing and put all my weight on it and just tried squeezing as hard as I could to get it off me, but it was relentless to hold on. It was a bit scary, actually. When I got on top of it, it's whipping its tail around, knocked me sunnies off me head, slapped me in the face, got me in the back. A bit like a whip, really. It hurts a bit.
Goanna.
Here's the kicker.
Yeah.
Did anybody believe Bailey Dawson?
No one believes me.
You're unbelievable.
I was wondering where that segue was going.
You're unbelievable. We need your unbelievable stories on 131060.
You're so unbelievable.
Blow our minds with the craziest thing that has happened to you. 131060. Here are some of the people we've had in the past.
You're unbelievable.
I was on my laptop and my cat was on my lap too, and he wrote kill with his paws on the paper.
You're so unbelievable.
One night I was just sitting in my backyard just having a cigarette. It was almost done. I flicked it onto the roof and a possum jumped up and had a drag of it.
You're unbelievable.
Twice in my life, on separate occasions, I've been somewhere and have had to assist someone put their prosthetic leg back on.
You're unbelievable.
My dad has a glass eye, and we were at the movies watching What Women Want, and he laughed out loud, which made his eye pop out and roll down the aisles, and we're there trying to find his eye between people's legs.
Wow. Someone found What Women Want funny.
You're unbelievable.
Oh, there's so many great calls we've had. This is your opportunity. If you've got a story that no one believes, we promise that we will believe you.
Blow our minds. The craziest thing that happened to you. I love the stuff we uncover in this segment.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
It's time for your unbelievable.
You're unbelievable.
The stories that you tell people and they just do not believe you when you tell them.
I love
we
the
promise
stuff.
To believe
oh,
you.
The stuff we uncover.
It's intense and exciting.
So bloody good. 131060, blow our minds. The strangest thing that's happened to you. Ralph. G'day, Ralphie.
Yeah, how you guys going?
Good.
So good, mate.
All right. I'm excited, Ralph. What's the craziest, unbelievable thing that happened to you?
Well, my brother and I were in Europe clubbing around in the mid-90s, and it was February, which we thought, oh, it'll be warm in Europe. We got on a motorcycle and we rode from London to Prague. Now, to get to London to Prague, you've got to go to Brussels, and then we went from Brussels across Belgium up into the mountains, and it was in Germany, and it was like driving through Threadbow for 500k.
I was say, it's realize. Winter, mate.
Yeah, we didn't realise how bad it was going to be.
Right.
So let's just say we did it in one session, took us about 12 hours. There was only one bike. We were doubling each other. And then when we got to Prague, we partied real hard. Beers over there were like 30 cents a beer. All sorts of party. I can tell you a lot of stories, but I think you'd probably beat me off the radio pretty quick.
Give us the best story, Ralph. What is the story that made you call up?
Oh, well, the girls in Prague are interesting because they stand on the side of the road in the snow with an overcoat on. Oh, and then when they open their overcoat on, they've just got there.
Ralph, is that your unbelievable story?
That's my unbelievable story.
You're unbelievable.
Ralph, is it the bit where you and your brother doubled each other on a scooter?
No, it wasn't a scooter. It was a big road bike.
All right. All right, Ralph. Good stuff. I was waiting for the punchline.
Same. I was like, this sounds like a really good holiday.
I thought he was in the build-up mode, but he was done.
It's all right. Maybe it was the weather. I don't know. I'm not really quite sure.
Good old Ralph.
Let's see how we go with Damo.
Beginning middle end, Ralph. Beginning middle end. All right, Damo.
Damo, before you begin, the segment is called You're Unbelievable. We're taking unbelievable stories, not just holiday anecdotes.
Yeah.
I've got a great story for you.
Good.
Excellent.
I had a dream 3 nights in a row. Quite disturbing. My little brother was sleeping with my girlfriend. On the 4th morning, the exact dream came exactly true.
You're unbelievable.
How did you find out?
What?
I started an apprenticeship as a bricklayer on the 4th morning, and I forgot my wallet, walked back in the door to get my wallet, and I saw exactly what I dreamed of.
Oh, Damo,
oh, no.
That's awful.
But you would have been, like, simultaneously, like, just so angry at the two of them, but also like, dreams can come true. They're just sometimes
awful. I was
more
shocked that the dream came true than anything else.
Yeah, I bet you were.
Because in a weird way, I guess, like, having a dream about it for 3 days in a row would kind of make you
You still would never think that it would actually happen.
Maybe your missus, just like, while you're asleep, was just whispering in your ear, like, I'm sleeping with your brother. I'm sleeping with your brother. Yuck. Just so that, like, to get it into your head so it didn't, like, subliminal messaging.
Oh, that's creepy.
I assume that Damo isn't friends with either of them anymore.
Well,
you're stuck with your brother, aren't you?
One can safely assume. Right. Nigel, hello.
Hi, how you going?
Good day, Nigel.
Nigel, what's your unbelievable story?
Well, I don't know if he's a believer because everybody I've told since who wasn't there doesn't believe me.
No, we will.
Okay,
we will believe you.
Go.
Club cricket, 5th grade, so pretty low grade, pretty average game in the middle of nowhere. This minibus does a couple of laps and we're trying to figure out what's this bus doing anyway. It pulls up down the bottom corner and out piles all these girls, must be on a hens night, all topless. And they run through our game. And interrupted the whole game. There's this kid on the fielding side who's about 14 and this girl's chased him for a cuddle and he's done the bolt round the oval away from her. Couldn't believe it.
You're unbelievable.
I can imagine that happening. You can imagine like a bus of chicks and they're halfway through the hens and the hens weekend or whatever and they've just gone, oh, you know it'd be bloody funny. Getting the girls out. And doing a streak across this junior cricket match.
It was awesome, really. But our batsman was on about 80, and he got out the first ball after the resumption.
All flustered.
I don't think we should talk about batting during this story.
Oh, true.
Thanks, Nigel.
Oh,
what is going on?
It's a bit of a kooky one this morning, isn't it, Compton?
It's a really kooky one.
Do we dare take one more? Do we dare?
Yeah, why not? We've got Natalie on 131060. Good morning, Nat.
Morning.
Right.
You guys aren't going to believe me either.
Okay, all right.
When I was little, I used to go bowling with my family. It used to be one of those little things we got to do every now and then.
Mm.
10-pin bowling or lawn bowls?
10-pin bowling.
Oh, yeah.
And as I 10-pin bowled, I got a strike, but the ball came back up before the thing even come down to swish him away because it already got it. But no one believes me, the ball came back.
You're unbelievable.
What do you mean?
I know what you're
saying.
So wait, so you bowled a strike and then it ricocheted off the very back wall and then back up the lane before the little closing gate came down?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was only 10, so it's not like I had power behind me. I used a little down ramp thing, so God knows what happened.
Oh, man.
I believe that.
All right.
I reckon that can totally happen.
The ball bounced
it.
Back out. You got a strike and the ball was like, hey, well done. And then went back in.
That's gold.
All right, there we go.
Well done, Nat.
What a kooky bunch of callers, hey?
Better than Ralph's story. Still not sure what was going
on. We were all over the place this morning, weren't we?
I went to Prague. Okay, good.
Yeah, mate. Anya, and the beers were cheap.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Hey, the older ACT government.
Oh, yeah.
Being the fun police.
What's that? Oh, that's the fun police.
Is that the fun police? Sounds like the actual police.
Hello, hello, hello. What do we have here? That's what Bobbies say.
Detective Dan in the house.
Yep.
A memo has been sent to government workers in the ACT government that has explained a particular ban that has been enforced.
This is all sounding a bit dry. This is all sounding a bit, you know.
Oh, like no, you
memos,
wait. You,
government.
You, well, I mean, that's how they communicate in like boring office jobs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, why are we talking about boring office jobs? What's going on here?
You wait. You're going to be ropeable.
Oh,
yeah,
it better be. You better really get me.
Quote, while chocolate or confectionery fundraisers are often trying to raise money for a good cause, they have a detrimental impact on our health. There is a growing trend for sporting teams and school grounds to fundraise in other ways, which includes offering healthier alternatives. They've banned selling chocolates and cookies for fundraisers.
Oh, it's political correctness gone mad, Maz.
That's just taking it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
You can't even buy chocolates now to raise good cash for a good cause.
Oh, yeah, we're raising money for the local sports team. Would you like to buy a chia bar?
No.
Yeah, I don't want a paleo power bar. Sorry, not interested. Give me the Maltesers, lady.
$3 for a falafel or three for $5?
Falafel?
I don't know.
Imagine if they started selling falafel.
Well, they can't sell a caramello koala anymore.
You're not allowed to sell confectionery. Not allowed to sell the cookies anymore. I'm calling it unfundraising.
Yeah, I'm not.
Unfundraising.
Whoa.
Unfundraising.
Okay.
Taking the fun out of fundraising.
Look,
right there.
All right. We were talking about this earlier, Maz, you and I, and we were talking about fundraising and the things you get roped in to do for it and whether they are fun or unfun. And we thought people might have some stories out there, 13, 10, 60. What sort of stuff have you been roped into doing?
Now, this isn't necessarily to make some sweet, sweet cash for a home deposit. This is to actually raise money for a good cause. So an actual, like a proper fundraiser.
So was it fun or was it unfun?
I participated in an unfundraising event.
Unfundraising.
When I was a teen, I actually got selected to go to America on a school exchange program, which was
so
awesome.
Cool. You're so
had to bankroll the money to get my ticket, though, didn't I? So I had to do a fair bit of fundraising we just didn't have the cash.
Yeah.
And tickets to America were about $2,000.
Yes.
And I was a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And I delivered the yellow pages to front doorsteps for months.
I'm not going to lie, Maz, that's aging you a bit because most people these days wouldn't even know what a yellow pages
is. It was the 90s. So the yellow pages, guys, is a big, big book that has everybody's telephone number in it.
Yeah, it's like Google, but they print it out.
Before the internet. Yes, they literally printed out Google.
Yeah. Like how they had Google Maps in a book and you'd keep it in your car. It was called the Melways.
You will remember, Dan, even though you're slightly younger, you'll remember there were two Yellow Pages books that were delivered.
Business and residential.
Yeah, and we had to deliver both of those sets of books to people's doorsteps. And they're very heavy.
Yeah.
They're very, very thick. And I was only a teeny tiny human.
Yeah.
And it took months and it was not fun and I flipping hated it.
That's where you learnt your joy of exercising though.
No, not really.
Okay. That's unfundraising.
Unfundraising.
Or it might be something you did for fundraising. It was super fun. I was talking about
super fundraising.
Yeah, super fundraising. When I was at school, to raise some money for charity, the year 12s put on a thing called Save the Mullet where they shaved the front part of teachers' heads.
That's excellent.
The angrier the teacher, the more money they fetched.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that was pretty
super
cool.
Super fundraising.
I'll never forget that.
Super fundraising.
Oh, good. We got a sound effect for that one too.
So 13, 10, 60, what did you do to raise some funds back in the day? Was it unfundraising or super fundraising?
Unfundraising. Super fundraising.
Seamless.
131060.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
We want to know, with 131060, have you been a part of either unfundraising or super
unfundraising? Super fundraising.
Now, it's all because in the ACT, the government have... I don't think it's a territory-wide ban. Is it just in the offices?
No, it's just within the government office.
You can't have those boxes of Caramellos and Freddos to raise money.
You're not allowed to sell confectionery or sweets to raise money anymore.
That's the fun police. It's not healthy. Now, I'm sorry, but... I can see it both ways, if I'm being really honest. Because on the one hand, it's like, oh, give it a rest, mate. Like, if you don't want a chocolate, just don't buy it. Like, no one's forcing you to eat them every day. That said, when someone comes around and goes, oh, buy a chocolate, it's for charity. And you go, you know what? I'm actually not in the mood for a chocolate right now. Then you look like a jerk because you're not helping out
a
charity.
Uncharitable.
So I'm kind of like getting guilted into getting chocolates that I don't particularly want, right? So maybe if the government got rid of them, they'd get me out of that jam.
Yeah,
so
potentially.
I don't really care from the whole health issue, but if it gets me out of an awkward social situation...
Then you're all for it.
Because I'm always in awkward social situations.
You sure are, mate. So quite a talent of yours,
so
actually.
So maybe that'd be good. But then they'd say, well, just give me the money anyway. And I'd be like, well, I want something for it. And they'd be like, well, you're helping out. I'm like, but that guy gets a chocolate, and I don't. Well, have a chocolate then. But I don't want one.
You don't want the chocolate.
Just give me the money. I'm not giving you money for nothing. It's a charity. Yeah.
I see your point.
Thanks. Just wanted to get that off my chest. What are we talking about? Fundraising.
Yeah. Have you done some fundraising? Was it unfun? Was it super fun? Let us know. Kalia. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Kalia, are you named after Anthony Kalia?
Probably not.
No.
Okay. I just wanted to ask.
I'm named after my auntie.
Okay. Because you probably get that all the time. But
it's a good name.
We saw you come up on the caller ID here. Our producer wrote it in, so we thought we'd just check.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Sorry. Sorry to bring that up.
Speaking of awkward social situations.
Yep, I just got myself into one of them just then. That was an awkward social situation.
Sorry. Kalia, go ahead, Dolly. Tell your story.
So my mother told me a story when I was younger of a way they fundraised at school. What she did was they stole all the teachers' mailboxes with their mail in it and auctioned them back to them.
Super fundraising.
Yeah, that's super fun. Not for the teachers, though.
That is brilliant, except... It just wouldn't work nowadays because nobody really gets any mail.
No.
Nothing important comes in the mail.
Anything I buy online, I get delivered to work, like all my ASOS and stuff.
Oh, that's true.
Imagine if you got...
You might get more money these days.
Yeah.
That's true. Or your bags from the Iconic. Yeah. You get all... jeggings that you buy, Dan.
That's the idea. I bought... It was just sidebar. I didn't buy them intentionally. I thought they were normal jeans. When I got them, they had no pockets.
They were definitely tight.
Still wear them, though.
Yeah, you do. You rock them.
I look real slender.
Bad thing.
Once one of the women who works here in the office came up to me and she went, all the girls in the office are really jealous of your legs. And I took that as a compliment.
Who said that?
I don't know. I don't know the names of the people who work here.
I think she was being sarcastic.
I don't know the names of the people who work here.
Oh, Sarah. Hello.
Hello. Right.
Okay, we're talking fundraising, believe it or not. We are talking about fundraising. What's your story?
Well, I've actually got an unfundraising.
Oh, okay. Can we get the sound effect for that?
Unfundraising.
All right.
So I was on my son's fundraising committee and we weren't allowed to sell hot cross buns at Easter time because they were unhealthy and denominational and we live in a non-denominational council.
Ooh, okay. All right. Okay. So that, there's a couple of thorny issues there, isn't there?
Yes, but I sold them anyway.
Okay. So you went out and sold them anyway?
Yes.
But like a sort of like a Christian missionary spreading the good word
across
buns.
Eat
my God, eat him.
Eat him. Hot cross buns at Easter time are the best thing and they made us the most amount of money that year.
Good
on you then.
I get that they're Easter related and they've got a cross on them, but at the same time, they're pretty much just a scone. Like,
they are really delicious.
Take the cross off the top. They're not,
and
anyway.
You're fine.
I don't want to get into some sort of, religion, freedom of expression
argument. Now is not the
time.
Not the week before Christmas. It's not the right time.
Well, yeah, or holiday. The week before holiday.
Pauline, hello.
Hi, hello.
Hey, Pauline.
Hello. We're talking about fundraising. What's your story?
Yeah, so I've always fundraised from an early age.
Oh, good on you, Pauline.
Yeah, because I was just, you know, always independent and raised my own funds. So back in primary school, I had my friend Michelle and me, and we used to buy three popcorns for $2, a caramel popcorn, from a place called the Mad Butcher back in New Zealand when it was still open. Yeah, and
when New Zealand was still open.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's closed down now, and yeah, and we'd sell them for $2 each, so we'd make a bit of a profit, go around the neighborhood, we'd come back with $60, $70 in coins. Yeah. We're stoked at the age of 11.
Now, what would you fundraising. Do with that money? Yeah. What was it for?
Yeah. Just for yourself.
We're fundraising for our camp at Motutapu Island. So we're really fundraising.
Okay. All right. Okay. And yeah, all right.
Yeah, we definitely were, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't just for a Super Nintendo or something.
No, no, it was towards our camp.
All right.
Good on you.
All right.
Yeah. And I also fundraised with chocolate. I used to buy chocolate for $1 at the supermarket and sell it for $2. Yep,
yeah, they have
a lot of fundraising.
And on the back of them it would say not for individual sale and be like, screw you.
This is back in, you know, this is quite like 7 years ago, so didn't really have those individual stamps then.
What do you think of this? Well, I was going to say, what do you think of this chocolate ban?
Oh, I think it's, you know, ridiculous. I think everyone should be able to enjoy chocolate, you know.
In moderation. Yeah, moderation is the key with choc.
After hearing Pauline's story, there's a very fine line between fundraising for a good cause and scamming people.
Yep. There is. That's true.
Well, I'm glad we've pointed that out to everybody.
That's why I do a lot of fundraising around the office. Wink. Yeah. It's just shaped like a pyramid. It's just a regular scheme. Yeah.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Hey, dudes. We're back to Moz. We're out of time. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Back tomorrow, though. Two whole hours.
2 whole hours staring at your face, Dan DeBoof. I can't wait.
Yep. I love staring at my face too. There's a mirror right there. I sometimes glance, hey, who's that
hottie?
Oh, it's
true. Show Liz online, danandmaz.com. Follow us on social media @danandmaz. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Dan and Maz Weekends.